Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck along with Shad Marquitz, we are your hosts for the weekend edition. Also your hosts throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, The KE Report. On this weekend show, we're going to keep it a little bit more focused. First couple of segments, more on the bond market, as we have seen U.S. yields spike just in the last couple of weeks. And then the back end of the show, shifting our focus back to the energy markets, oil and natural gas, which have been relatively range-bound, trying to get some clarity on where that next break will come. To kick off this show, we are chatting with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report. Now, Jesse, as I mentioned, we're focusing on the bond market. As the 10-year this week broke out above 4%, the 2-year also above 5%. It's been a couple weeks, actually a couple months in a row here where the 10-year has moved higher. It bottomed at about 3.25% in April and has climbed much higher. Now, some of this is on the back of the debt ceiling debate that is now settled. More treasuries are coming on the market. Also, investors getting more confident, I guess, that we will see more rate hikes and probably no rate cuts this year, but who knows? Again, the Fed has continued to drive home that there might be a couple more hikes coming. But Jesse, let's just start off big picture for investors. What do you think the importance is here to understand about yields moving much higher and threatening to break even higher?
Well, I've been paying very close attention to the especially the 10-year Treasury yield. Over the last several months, we've had warnings from two very important market watchers. First is Bill Dudley, former head of the New York Fed, right, who's probably more familiar with money markets, treasury markets, these things than, you know, 99% of the financial industry. And he's been saying there's a supply-demand mismatch, right? We're issuing so many new treasuries. We have to issue so many new treasuries to fund the government, the massive fiscal deficit, at the same time that the Fed's undergoing quantitative tightening. I mean, they're reducing the balance sheet, and foreigners are taking less interest in owning treasuries than they have in any time in recent memory. So this supply-demand mismatch, he suggests, means that interest rates need to go higher. Now, his warnings have been echoed by Ray Dalio, right? Founder of the largest hedge fund on planet Earth. He actually wrote a piece in Time last week suggesting that in order to price in this supply-demand mismatch, interest rates either have to go a lot higher or the Fed has to print a lot of money. And I think that might be kind of the sequencing, that we're going to see interest rates go significantly higher across the curve. I'm not talking about the Fed funds rate. I'm talking about 5-10 year treasury yields until the Fed is kind of forced to step into the market. So I'm paying mostly close attention to this 10-year treasury yield. To me, it looks like from the high that it put in last October, which coincided with the stock market lows last October, it's kind of traded kind of in a sideways downtrend, otherwise known as a bull flag pattern. We last week broke out of that bull flag pattern. Today, we're seeing follow through on that breakout. And that technical breakout confirms to me these warnings from Bill Dudley, Ray Dalio, and others that interest rates are headed higher. Market, you know, stock market and corporate bond markets are all kind of priced for rates to come down. So this is not a good sign for risk assets. And more importantly, the breakout of this bull flag pattern suggests that the 10-year Treasury yield is targeting 5% over the next several weeks or months.
Well, Jesse, in lieu of what's going on with rates, when a lot of people thought they would start pulling back and they're starting to scorch higher, at least in the last couple of weeks and over the last month or two, if they keep going higher, it seems like the general markets are set up in a way where they're expecting a different outcome. And where people looking at the Fed expectations and what they're going to do for policy, they're going to get into a kind of a pickle here where they're going to be nearing the end of their rate hiking cycle. If inflation stays a little stickier, and you start seeing rates take off, and then they actually need to go into an easing mode while they're still quantitative tightening because the recession's coming, it could be a weird storm of events. So could you help us sort out how that may play out with Fed policy and the markets in relation to these interest rates?
Yeah, so, you know, I think the Fed's been pretty clear they're going to probably raise rates at the short end, right, or the Fed funds rate this month, maybe again in September. I think that's kind of what they've guided. It's two more rate hikes this year. And then they're probably done. And I think they might not even get that second rate hike because we're seeing things like jobless claims and a lot of other things that are, you know, starting to confirm the leading indicators, which have been pointing to recession in the second half of this year for a long time now. So the closer we get to more of these kind of coincident indicators or even lagging indicators confirming the what the leading indicators have been saying for months, you know, the more obvious we're going to be, you know, recession is going to be here or upon us in the second half of this year. That's going to say to the Fed, okay, you've probably done enough in terms of hiking rates. The problem is, you know, there's no, you look at things like core PCE and core CPI, the core inflation numbers suggests that the Fed's nowhere close to getting inflation back down to its 2% target. We're still 4% plus on a lot of these core measures. So if the Fed is forced to, if interest rates are you know, at the longer end of the curve, going to continue higher, even as the Fed is done hiking at the short end, that could create a real problem, right? If the Fed has not won the inflation battle decisively, but is forced to end quantitative tightening because of structural issues in the Treasury market, it could do a lot of damage to inflation psychology, where people realize, okay, wait, the Fed is having to address financial stability concerns, and that is going to tie their hands in fighting inflation going forward. So, you know, at that point, you know, it'll be really interesting to watch how the gold price reacts. It's already reacting in a way that suggests the markets are potentially pricing in, you know, a reversal on the balance sheet, the Fed's balance sheet, because if the Fed is forced to end quantitative tightening while inflation is still a problem, obviously that's probably the most bullish case you could imagine for precious metals. And so if interest rates continue higher at the longer end of the curve and the gold price goes up at the same time, right, that'll be a clear sign that that kind of a dynamic is underway.
So Jesse, in terms of the yields popping here and just a, I guess, a lack of buyers for bonds, how much does that also tie into, one, the debt ceiling being raised, so now more bonds, more treasuries coming onto the market, and two, Fed expectations for hikes? A lot of people were pricing in rate cuts by the end of this year, a number of rate cuts. That is completely turned around now.
Yeah, well, the end of the, right, lifting the debt ceiling meant that the Treasury had to refill its coffers, right? They'd run down to essentially nothing in the Treasury general account. And, you know, that's kind of the working capital account for the Treasury to pay all of the government's bills. So they need, you know, they've run that back up to, I don't know, $300, $400 billion, and they're going to continue probably trying to build that back up. But at the same time, I think the bigger issue is the fact that the fiscal deficit right now is wider than it's been at any point during an economic recovery in U.S. history, right? Normally what happens, you have an economic recovery or you get a recession, deficit widens out because of the countercyclical fiscal policy to say, okay, we're going to engage in some fiscal stimulus to try and boost the economy. That blows out the deficit during a recession. And then when the economy begins to recover, the deficit narrows again. Well, what we've seen is that has played out to a degree this time, but it never really narrowed anywhere close to like 0%, you know, to GDP fiscal deficit. We still, I think we bottomed out around 5%, and it's widening again towards 6-7% again. So this is the widest fiscal deficit during an economic expansion that we've seen in post-war times. And so that's a very, very important dynamic. That's what Bill Dudley and Ray Dalio are talking about, is that gap in the fiscal deficit means that there's so much more debt that needs to be issued to fund the government because taxes just aren't covering it, right? The taxes are, you know, government tax revenue is declining, and spending is going up, and so deficits widening, and so you have a scenario where there's going to be lots of debt that needs to be issued. Interest rates go up, and you know, that creates a problem for the Fed with you know, fiscal policy.
Well, Jesse, another thing that we have been noting on the show for a long time, and we've discussed this with you in the past, is the inversion of the yield curve itself and where the 10-year and the 2-year is, or some people use the 3-month and the 10-year. But if you just look at the 10 and the 2, it's been inverted for over a year now, and it looks like that has been a very accurate precursor to a recession. But when you look at the action in the general markets, the narrative in the financial media is all that it's a soft landing and that we're in a new bull market. And a lot of people were expecting a rally, you know, that it could be a bear market rally, but most of the narrative has now shifted over to it's a bull market out there and we're probably going to avoid the recession, or if nothing else, the recession's been booted off, you know, further into the future. What's your take on that discussion going on in the mainstream financial media right now?
Well, it's fascinating to me. I mean, there was actually a piece in The Atlantic that I saw today that said, you know, inflation's are the Fed has already won the inflation battle, which, you know, is, I think, debatable. That's, I think nobody would actually yield that as a point, but also that the Fed has not had to create an inflation, or I'm sorry, a recession in order to create that outcome, which is, you know, also another thing that I think nobody's willing to concede that point, right? That what's fascinating to me is this kind of psychology that the Fed has raised rates and there's no recession. Is you see it in every single market cycle. Going back, look at the history of the yield curve. And every time the yield curve inverts, you have a period of time where people doubt the signal. You know, say, well, the Fed has hiked, you know, the short end, whatever, but we don't have a recession. Maybe we're going to have a soft landing. Well, that soft landing narrative, like, was actually created, was actually the first time we heard that was 1973, right before the 74 recession, which was massively painful. So you get this period of time where people don't remember Fed policy, monetary policy works with long and variable lags. Now, what is that lag typically? We were talking about before, you know, we started recording, that these big macro shops, big macro hedge funds, they all know that Fed policy has about an 18 to 24 month lead on the time you see it materialize in the coincident and lagging economic data. So for you to see jobless claims reflect Fed funds takes 18 months, you know, or 2 years. And so we're getting to that. We're just, you know, 12 months out from, you know, basically where Fed policy started getting reasonably tight. And so the idea that we don't have a recession, we're not going to have one, is saying that, you know, this Fed policy that we've seen over the last 12 months will not have the normal effect that it's had over the next, which should materialize based on these relationships that are, you know, you can measurable over the last 50 years, is not going to materialize over the next 6 months like it has in every single previous cycle. So I think that's what people don't necessarily appreciate. So the idea that this is a new bull market, I guess, completely dismisses the idea that it's really the next 6 to 12 months that are when the rubber meets the road with monetary policy. And the fact that if you look back at all the previous bear market bottoms, this one right now, I think Warren Pease put out a chart last week that showed this would be the worst breadth of any stock market low in history. And I'm talking about the performance of small caps and equal weight S&P 500 relative to the broader market. This would be the worst breadth in the history of stock market bottoms. So you're basically betting on this is a new bull market, is that this is a new bull market, yes, with the worst breadth in history, and that the normal relationship of Fed policy affecting the economy, which, you know, like I said, is going to become more poignant in the next 6 months, you know, has that relationship is no longer valid. So I'm not really willing to accept either of those things. I think that the horrible stock market breadth suggests this is likely a bear market rally. And that will be confirmed by the lagging data over the next 6 to 12 months.
Fair enough, Jesse. Does your timing get impacted at all? Would you consider that, look, the yield curve, at least the 210 spread, went negative at the very beginning of 2022, And then it's just kept going more and more negative. Quite frankly, we're seeing the most negative yield curve since back in the 80s. And it almost looks like it's continuing to trend lower. So does that impact the timing at all? Simply because the last inversions have been much shallower, much shorter. We go the whole way back to the 80s when it finally was this inverted. And again, it's still looking like it could get more inverted.
Well, look back to that last time it was this inverted, right? You can look back to that early 1980s, essentially. And, you know, the yield curve, this 2s10 yield curve, first inverted in August of 1978, right? But then it continued to, you know, get wider and wider of an inversion until February of 1980, when it bottomed out at like 2%. Was, you know, we're sitting at just over 1, something like that right now. It actually widened to 2% in February 1980 when, you know, Paul Volcker was famously raising rates significantly to fight inflation. What happened was the economy went into recession right when the yield curve bottomed in February 1980. So it took a little over 18 months, or, you know, what is that, less than 18 months for recession to start from the beginning of the yield curve, right? Where are we at today? The yield curve first inverted July of 22. That puts 18 months at, you know, towards the end of this year, right? Towards the late fourth quarter of this year is going to be 18 months from the beginning of that yield curve inversion. So to me, the yield curve still, you know, yes, it's a leading indicator. It's just like, you know, Fed funds, essentially the 2-year reflects monetary policy, right? So the yield curve inversion is just kind of another look at, you know, very much like Fed funds rate, monetary policy is a leading indicator that has an 18-month lead. So that points to recession, you know, sometime around December, you know, of this year, January next year. Still confirms kind of a lot of the other stuff that I'm looking at. And so the fact that people are talking about a soft landing to me is just not validated at all by any indicators.
Well, Jesse, when you look at the 2 and the 10, maybe just one more thought on this. You know, a lot of times when you see the yield curve eventually flatten, it's because the short end of the yield curve starts getting sold off. So we would see the 2-year yield start dropping. But you had posited to us an idea that maybe it actually won't be that as much as it will be the long end of the yield curve starting to rise and steepen. And that's maybe what will flatten things down. What kind of an environment would that be for the markets, for gold? You know, what do you see in that kind of an environment?
Well, the reason I think that is probably because the Fed is close to being done. I do think they're close to, they'll probably raise again here in July. They've guided towards another rate hike probably in September and you know, then being done. I don't think they'll probably raise in September. I think we're seeing the leading indicators beginning to, the sign, the message from leading indicators beginning to materialize in things like jobless claims and things. And it's going to become more obvious over the next few months that we're headed for recession, if not in recession already here in the third quarter. Now, that would probably be a sign to the Fed, you don't need to hike anymore, right? Recession is here. Now, if at the same time, the long end continues to go up because, you know, normally the long end, right, would come down. You know, recession's here, okay, interest rates need to come down. But this supply-demand dynamic is really interesting, right? Things like the copper-to-gold ratio have suggested rates should be coming down for a long time now. Copper to gold ratio is a multi-month, you know, sitting very close to kind of multi-month lows, while you have the 10-year yield pushing, you know, its highs. That's a sign to me that fundamentals aren't what's driving the bond market right now. It's not the economy. It's not inflation. It's just this supply and demand issue. And so if, you know, a massive wall of supply coming into the treasury market is going to mean that long rates go up, even as the Fed has done hiking, right? That means the yield curve is going to steepen again. Now, that is probably a really bearish thing for the economy, for risk assets, especially because, right, markets are priced for interest rates coming down, risk assets are priced for interest rates coming down. Most of this corporate debt doesn't need to be refinanced till 2025. And so the reason why spreads are so narrow right now is because people think, okay, by the time these corporates need to refinance, rates will be much lower. if that's not the case, right, and rates go higher, you're going to have market having to price in some real distress in the corporate bond market. Spreads have to widen, PEs come down. And so that's why, to me, it all comes back to the 10-year treasury yield. You got to keep a close eye on this thing, because markets, you know, are not prepared for sustainably higher interest rates right now.
All right. Well, Jesse, we're going to wrap it up here. Let's really just see how this all plays out, right? It is kind of a waiting game to see how these rates filter through. And every month, every week, probably every day, people are needing to refinance something at much, much higher rates. And quite frankly, the rates look like, well, they're getting even higher with some of these breakouts in yield. So again, everyone seems to still be waiting for this recession. Very well could still happen in the second half of this year. All depends what type of recession it is as well. But man, there's a lot to continue to follow along with, even though we are in summer and even though it seems like some of the market momentum has slowed almost across the board. Jesse, thank you as always for your time. We'll chat again next month. It's always great chatting with you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.